And her mother was Marie Burton. And, Susie
Rowland.
Mm-hmm. And you see there, it was their grandfather that had that hotel.
Oh.
Ella Patet, maybe you've heard of her. Your mother didn't know.
Yeah. No, when I came here to high school, my folks figured they couldn't pay my way. I had to work my way through high school. Yeah. And my mother brought me up here to Doc Smith to see if he didn't want a boy to take care of his garden and the horses and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And he said, yeah. He had Roy Smith. That's, you wouldn't know him. He came here from in Whiteford, where I was, and he was going to work for Doc, but it didn't pan out. So when I came up, my mother came up here and talked to Doc about my coming to work my way through mm-hmm. high school.
Well, that's
and I didn't know a soul here.
Doctor Smith always had girls with boys.
What?
Doctor Smith had helped quite a lot of boys.
Yeah, he was a wonderful guy.
When did he pass away?
He wasn't 70 years old yet.
He was about 75, I guess.
No, he wasn't 70. He was sort of 69, I think.
Might have been 69, but anyway. He was a wonderful guy.
But anybody calling him, no matter what time of night, they would get up and go.
Yeah.
They'd go with horses.
Mm-hmm.
And when I stayed there, I could hear a telephone ring. I was upstairs. And then Doc would get on the telephone, and he just begged for people not to have him come, because he said, I'm just so tired out, I can hardly go. Well, they just had to have the doctor.
Maybe they didn't have sick three, 4 days.
Once in a while, he called me, and I would have to hitch up a horse for him.
Mm-hmm.
And lots of times I took him out on calls. He should ride the horse for him.
Well, you know, boys and girls, the girls would work for Mrs. Smith and help in the office too.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a number of girls in his office.
He would help them, like, work their way through school?
Yes, he'd work. You know, for him, Mrs. Smith.
How come you had to pay for high school?
Well, there's a few of them who went to high school. You see, maybe out of a class that could come out of the grade, maybe there'd be only maybe one or two out of it would go on to high school. And they only had 10 grades here. I had an aunt who was 16 years older than I. Went up here to high school, Eleanor Bishop, and she came up here and she worked for this Mrs. McLaughlin, who was a mother of the man that started the bank.
Mm-hmm.
And she lived in that great big brick house that's over on the corner of the,
the street that runs out of town, and this big brick house that's
Wood Street. It's Wood Street and, it's Wood Street and Elm.
So it's over there, like?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And she was an old lady that was alone, and my aunt worked her way through. And then she went to school for 2 years, and she taught school after that.
Oh, really?
Well, when I taught the country, I didn't have to go to college, only I had to go to summer school. I went one summer to Texas.
What kind of stuff did they teach you there?
Well, they taught us mostly, We had to work awfully hard. I think it was 8 weeks I had to go there. And we had to do as much as they do in one quarter, about. We had, I had, let's see, I had economics, some economics, and some English, some undisciplined. We worked up here to get some.
How were the kids in school, like, when you taught?
Oh, you mean as far as discipline?
Yeah. Were they real well-mannered? Or?
Oh, yes.
Were they?
Because when the kids went to school, then they wanted to go.
They wanted to go.
They knew that they were lucky to be going.
Mm-hmm. To,
well, even in the grade schools, a lot of people didn't go beyond, say, the sixth grade.
Mm-hmm.
They'd taken some of the schools where they confirmed, like the Catholic and Lutheran schools, after they'd get confirmed, they would go to school. And
mm-hmm.
They wouldn't even go through the eighth grade. And when I went to Whiteford School in the wintertime, sometimes December, January, February, part of March, maybe part of November, why some of these other kids would come back to school, and there'd be kids that were 18 years old down there. I remember a couple of girls that were down in third, when I was in third grade, they had no hope of going to school beyond third grade.
And they were 18?
And they'd come back to school in the wintertime for a while.
That's good that they came back, though.
Yes, that's right. Well, that's, and we had often, I went to Whiteford Center School.
Mm-hmm.
We always had all the good teachers there. We had one teacher there that taught for 4 years. I never had a lady teacher in country school,
mm-hmm.
but we had a man from Lambert by the name of Updike, this bachelor, and he was awfully good for the kids because he would have like the 7th and 8th grade come to his house, and they'd have daffy poles, and they'd have parties,
mm-hmm.
and he'd teach them, you know, a lot of things outside.
Mm-hmm. That sounds like it'd be good.
Yeah. That they would look out in any other way. And I suppose they did the same up here, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had to take what they call a reading circle, and we'd have to go Saturdays, and we'd meet together, and there'd be one be kind of leader. We had to read these books, and we'd have discussions, and help each other. I mean, the country teachers,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we would go and meet together and talk about our problems. And so I don't know. I guess they made you understand.
Mm-hmm.
And I know he'd have spelling bees and things like that. So, and we used to have some of the men in the churches out there. They belonged in our school district. Men by the name of Pump, and they were good singers. And then they'd have a singing school, and they'd get together. We, they didn't do anything like that up here.
Like, how was Petersburg compared to the other towns around here, like Dundee and Monroe and that? Was it real little then, like it is now?
It was smaller than, I don't think Deerfield was as big, probably, or not any bigger. Of course, they had that Catholic church. I don't know too much about Deerfield there.
Mm-hmm.
Because I grew up.
Are you going to college?
Mm-hmm.
That's good.
Yep.
How many years are you going to go?
Either 4 or 6.
Four. Where, what college?
I'm going to the community college right now.
What?
To Monroe.
Oh, to Monroe.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's wonderful. Because there's so many children that wouldn't be able to
So you worked at the McLachlan Bank?
Oh, yes. That was a private bank at one time, or when we came here. And after I got to be cashier, I went to the state banking department because they controlled all the banks, see. And went through the form to put it into the McLachlan State Bank, see. And we were a state bank. And then after a number of years, I changed it from McLachlan State Bank to Petersburg State Bank.
Mm.
And then it went into Petersburg State Bank. And it has, since it's no longer, why, it was Petersburg State Bank.
Mm-hmm. What was your first job like?
Hmm?
What was your first job in the bank when you first started out? Like, how did you work your way up?
I had to learn to run an adding machine.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got from there, I got to the ledger poster. That was, we posted all the checks and the deposits, see, on ledger sheets.
Mm-hmm.
That was the second job. And then when we hired a girl, we hired Ella Wellner. She worked there a long time. And we hired Dora, too. But Ella done the posting, did the bookwork.
Mm-hmm.
And so then finally, when Vern Logan was in the bank, and he was cashier, and he took TB. And so Mr. Rose said, well, when Vern had to quit. And Mr. Rose said to me, well, don't you think you and I can get along together here in the bank and run the bank? And I said, well, we could try. And we always did. And then Mr. Rose passed out the picture while I was cashier, see? And so the bank fell to me.
Mm-hmm.
And, so I spent a long number of years in the bank. But I always enjoyed it.
Yeah, I was there 43 years.
Mm-hmm.
There you said it was 43rd year. And it was sold in the state.
So how are the churches around here? Was there a lot of people who were involved with the churches and a lot
with
of...
who, what?
The churches.
Churches, yeah, everybody usually went to church here. They didn't go out of town to church, see?
Mm-hmm.
And the Methodist Church, the Presbyterian, and the Lutheran.
Well, and then there was the Free Methodist, too.
And there was a Free Methodist Church,
that's
see? But that was a little down here by the tennis court. There was that little building,
mm-hmm.
was a Free Methodist Church. But that never mounted too much. So.
Well, it never grew here. They had struggled about from Ralph or Gatesville.
Mm-hmm. I wonder where that is. Was there any certain religions, or was there any certain ethnic groups that went to the different churches?
You mean like Mexicans or...
Like the Germans or the Italians or whatever, if they went to certain ones?
Well, there were a few Catholics when they went over to
Deerfield.
We never had a Catholic church here.
Mm-hmm.
But most of the people went to those four churches. And then there's what became a tabernacle later. I mean, that's at the east end of town here. I don't
mm-hmm.
know what you call it. Lower Light.
Yeah.
They put up a sort of a, they called it a, what do they call it?
Tabernacle.
Tabernacle. Right where they were graveyard. Well, they served at the cemetery, right in there.
Right, yeah. It was adjoining the Zabel's home, you know, he built a home there. and tabernacle built on this street right back to him, kind of next to him.
Yeah. But that's the first time there was ever anything like that here.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, then they bought back from the woods here.
Yeah.
And became more light.
How did the people around town feel about something different coming in like that?
Well, I know there were people who went. I don't know, this has been a great town for widows. Just like it is now. You know, a lot of widows here now. And they were like Mrs. Burton. Now, what did Mr. Burton do?
He ran the meat market.
Oh, he had meat.
He ran the meat market.
Before my time, because he was dead before the evening.
He was a farmer before he came here, and then he built that big house and lived here and opened the meat market.
It's the Burton house, that big square house on the...
It's on your way to the school.
Near where Tilly Riddle, you know, where she lives, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
No. Well, you know where Mrs. Stinberry lives?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's... two houses from there. It's a big square house. I think there's a
the boy.
Who are you trying to think of?
Dennis. His mother's a Ferris.
What?
Dennis Wells.
Oh, yeah.
That big square house.
Yeah.
That's the old
working
house.
Oh.
Right on the way to high school. Yeah. Just before you get to the high school.
And mm-hmm. Susie Rose.
Mr. Burton and his wife lived there.
Yeah.
And that was a big, big home.
I always wondered, because Mr. Burton was living, but there were a lot of those people. But they belonged to the Relief Corps, and some of them belonged to the Rebecca's, their part of those.
Mm-hmm.
And,
Mr. Burton, that run the meat market, was a farmer out south here, and
around the
Burton farm, see? And I guess he brought his meats in from there to this.
Well, that's probably the way he started.
Mm-hmm. And that's where he got started. And he got to be quite a business because...
Well, now, what did... I've often wondered, how did...
Ellis?
Logan. Horace Logan.
He ran the hardware, the implement store, back of the hardware stores. You know, Jenny's store is a place that goes, the alley goes back in.
Mm-hmm.
But Logan had the implements and the harnesses and buggies and
see,
all
see
that.
See, these men are Credo and Horace Logan and Mr. Rose, Alvin Rose. This Rose Road was named for him.
Oh.
Because I guess they had property out here. Anyway.
Yeah, they used to own property
out there. And Dr. Smith. And don't worry about. This brick house on the corner across from the Methodist Church here this way. Mr. Bond Lawrence Whitman, but the
Crosby.
Miss Crosby
mm-hmm.
just died. Her father had that built that house.
Oh.
And what did he?
Hmm?
What kind of a business did he have that he made his money?
Well, he was more or less had different farms around. See,
and Mr. Elder. See, all these businessmen went in as directors of the bank.
Oh, and so they just all kind of started the bank together?
That's right. Well, the bank was started by the McLaughlins, Mr. Rose married a McLaughlin girl. That's the way he got into it, you see. And
he used to work for the railroad. He was, and that's the way he got interested here in the bank. And then he married McLaughlin's daughter, see? Yeah.
And you see, those businessmen went together and they formed a bank.
It was Art Greedoff and Mr. Burton and...
And Mr. Elder, the clothing man.
Elder and Rose and Crosby. I can remember Crosby because Mr. Rose made it a point that if they'd come to director's meeting, it was 7 o'clock and it had to be 7. So he locked the bank door and he thought, well, Mr. Crosby would rap on the door and he didn't want to get in. But Mr. Crosby went home burnt up. And he was burnt up because they shut him out of the director's meeting.
But you see, that's where they were against his businessmen. Mm-hmm.
Is that why it was a private bank then? Because people from...
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like when they shut down the tavern and stuff uptown for the, over the Prohibition, yeah. Was there a lot of people who was upset about it, or were the people around town mostly glad, or...
Well, I guess, I don't know if it would be half and half one way or the other.
Well, Mr. Rose was quite... connected with that is, I mean, he brought the Detroit Edison in here, remember? You don't remember that because
sure.
There was a fight on here for electricity. And Mr. Rose was happened to be connected in Monroe, and he knew some of the people connected with Detroit Edison. So he got fellows together and they got Detroit Edison to come in here. That's how we got Detroit Edison.
Yeah, we got it just quick as Dundee or...
Really?
No. Mm-hmm. Because the electricity was... And your fellow, the name was Schroeder.
What?
Bill
Schroeder?
Bill Schroeder.
Yeah.
He lived over there where the Walls used to live. But she was asking about...
About the tavern, and I wondered how the people felt about Prohibition.
About the tavern?
No,
about Prohibition.
About Prohibition, I'd say that it was just about split.
It was just sort of two sides, and they got along.
Yeah. There never was a lot of trouble about it. I don't know. I don't know if there ever was any... I don't think... There.
No.
That's what you call a blind pig, they used to call it. You know,
a blind what?
I was
blind
here when
pig, I guess they'd call it. Wasn't that what they called it? When they would sell liquor on the black market, right? I think that's
what was it. That?
In the big cities, that mm-hmm. was. When they could get liquor in some of the big cities.
Here the beer garden was open.
Well, I know, but it wasn't during Prohibition. No, sir.
No.
Yes, sir.
He had a certain length of time after Prohibition came in to get rid of the stuff. See?
Well, that might be. I don't know about that. I wasn't here.
And Mr. Averill was the fellow that run the hotel and the beer garden, as they call it now. See, the saloon. And it used to be called the saloon. And I used to watch when I was in the doctor's office, people going into the beer garden. I mean, you could see who they were, and all these people going to the beer garden. Some of them couldn't hardly get away from the place. They were about sows, and they'd lock them up. And
well, they had a little jail here.
Oh, really?
In the park. I don't think they used it too many times.
Well, it was used a few times. But it was... they had a marshal here, and he used to pick up fellows once in a while, take them down to the jailhouse. See?
Clarence Whitman was marshal. Tom Beverly was, too.
Tom Beverly was, really?
Oh, yes.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
But that's the way it goes. Starts from small, keeps getting bigger. That's
seems like Petersburg got smaller. It sounded like it used to really be a nice town.
Well, it was for that time.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, it was different. People couldn't get to the big cities.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't know just how, like this clothing store, Lowers, had real nice materials there. You could go up and get mm-hmm. patterns. Of course, people used to make their own clothes.
Yeah.
They didn't buy them. Mm-hmm. Up then.
You know, Chuck is now connected with a bank in Norwalk, isn't it? And that bank is $40 million bank, almost $41
million. Yeah.
And Diane is a teller there.
His daughter?
In the bank.
No, she
well,
is.
I guess she it isn't.
No,
she isn't
Chuck
in the bank.
Chuck couldn't have her in this bank.
Yeah,
she's in that. She's with the Cleveland branch.
Oh, yeah, there's a band.
She works there 2 days out of the week.
That's good.
She said, she always asked me, she says, I could know, well, it's a place to earn some money, but I wouldn't want to be a teller all my life.
No. Was there any important personalities or anything that
no.
around the Depression that people really looked up to or kids really idolized or anything?
You know, Mr. Burton used to be on the board too at the bank. But
well, I don't know, but she's asking about...
Was there any popular personalities or any idols that the little kids
well,
around
the
Depression
thing,
used to look
up
Barone,
to? Well, he was connected with the...
Well, I know, but... Some people didn't like him any more than they liked. I don't know, but I would say people were always proud of Elizabeth Crosby for what she has done, because she really has done some things, has discovered some.
Elizabeth Crosby, is she the one?
Yes.
That they dedicated to the library,
yeah,
too?
Yeah, she just died.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think she was in her 90s. I never got to know her real well because she taught school here.
Mm-hmm.
I went to high school to her.
And then she went to college at Aiken College, I think. And of course, then she got in Ann Arbor. And she was a brain specialist, right? And then she was. I don't know if she actually did surgery or anything like that, but she could supervise and you know, that she did some things nobody else ever did before. And she was not only connected with Ann Arbor, but she used to go down to the University of Alabama. And she'd stay down there 2 or 3 weeks in some of those Southern colleges. And
would she teach down there?
Well,
or demonstrate?
She told them how to do some mm-hmm. of those things. And so, and of course, Ed Lauer was a teacher here, and he's associated somebody up there in Ann Arbor now, unless he's retired.
Mm-hmm.
And he was.
He was quite a personality here.
Well, he was. And then there was Floyd Schultz. I don't know.
Is he related to the Schultzes in Dundee?
I don't know. His father used to work here for Great Elms. He lived where Dawn Crowley lived.
Mm-hmm.
That was an old Schultz home. And he had a sister, Mary. And who can tell you here about him? Miss Bergman, you remember her?
Mm-hmm. Linda Bergman.
She was a teacher.
She mm-hmm. passed away, hadn't she? Yeah.
Oh, yes.
All the Bergmaners there.
Yeah. Oh, he had a store uptown too.
Yeah.
He had a furniture store, and I know my mother, when my mother was married, her parents who I was training up in America, they gave each of their daughters yogurt china. And my mother was English china. And it was on the plane here. When she was married.
Mm-hmm.
That's where they used to do. They gave them a horse and a cow and a bedroom suit and some dishes for wedding presents.
Oh, gosh.
I can remember my mother telling me that she was raised close to the farm family.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was what she did, or what they did. But maybe they did some more things, but I don't really used to do that. So, of course, that would give them a start.
Yeah. How was the town government around here?
What?
How was the town government?
Town government?
Mm-hmm.
Well, they just had a president and secretary, usually. And that's about all.
Well, treasurer.
And then, treasurer.
And then they had their council.
That was, I think, about 9 members, 7 or 9.
Well.
And they run the town.
It was a lot like this. It used to be very strong Republican, very strong until,
but we had some older people that were marshals, you know.
Well, of course, the marshals don't run the government.
Yeah.
If, I don't know, they would call it like a president, they never called a mayor.
Hmm. Did a lot of the townspeople get involved with, like, the council meetings and stuff?
What's that?
Did a lot of the townspeople get involved with the council meetings?
Oh, yes.
No, only occasionally. If something came up that a certain fellow was put in jail, and the men of the town figured they should get together and see that he was let out or something like that, see? But otherwise, there wasn't much of anything.
They didn't shove anybody up too much, but they would get together when they, well, for instance, when they begin to talk about having with that town hall to fix that up so that it was, you know, fix the buildings up. They'd get together and somebody'd get an idea. And when the telephones come in and like this theater building, well, shall we have it or shouldn't we have it? Oh, yes, they used to things. And there would be quite a feeling one way or the other, you know. And then when it got to the point when they wanted sewers, that's something that we got during the Depression.
Oh, really?
It was statewide. They called it the WPA. I can't remember. I can't tell you what it stands for. But it was to get people work. And they put the sewers in here.
Mm-hmm.
The storm sewers. And then later they put the sanitary sewers in. And I remember when during the Second World War, there used to be the fire station was up where the library is. Mm-hmm. It's a two-story building. What was the building like? Was that a blacksmith shop underneath?
No.
Well, that
made run a sort of a...
No, not that kind. The building where they, because I remember during that time they had a Lutheran minister, younger man then, whose wife was a nurse.
Mm-hmm.
And she would, I don't know, some way through the Red Cross, we used to take old clothing, rip it up, and we'd go up there, well, some some people
were. But that's the building that's now.
Well, that was torn down and they put the library there because yeah. Dave Plummerdor did that.
That was.
What was the public?
They stored their.
Their fire department.
Fire department was stored
downstairs. And then upstairs, we used to go over there and show them. And then do that little things and send over to some of these countries like the Holland and
some of the poor countries
that had been in the war, you know, and were refugees, really. We had no homes. We used to sew some big packages. That's what we did with our kids.
So a lot of people got involved with that kind of stuff, like helping out with the war.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the women, they knit scarves for the soldier boys, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Scarves, I know my mother used to knit mittens and scarves and socks.
Wow,
and, they would get together. They did that before I was married, because at that time I was teaching in Toledo. But my mother used to go a couple times a week over Lake Center downtown, do that, and they did the same thing up there.
You know, this is beside the point, but that building that they held some of these meetings in, you know, right there beside the post office. And they used to have a hitching rail along there, and it was flat. And a lot of the men used to sit on that and visit. And some of these ladies that come along here in town would see them sitting on and go up and push them off, see? And many of them have been pushed off that railing.
Now, who would remember things like that?
Well, because I was here about that time, you know. I remember that. And right across the street, Mrs. Miller had a millinery shop.
That's right, it was a millinery shop.
Sure.
Yeah.
She made hats.
Oh.
Everybody wore a hat, didn't you know?
Mm-hmm. But she bought them and brought them in.
Well,
and
she made a lot.
She might have made some.
The millinery, Will Miller made a lot of them. Well, he had to make a lot of our clothes because he didn't go to.
No.
He couldn't pick up and go to
Toledo.
Toledo was.
And right across from the post office was a big brick mill. And that was closed for a number of years, see. Finally, Joe Manor got in there and got part of it and used it for a repair shop. But there's been a lot of history here. But it's got so old.
Mm-hmm.
I just love it. If I could walk the way, but have this cemetery done in similar ways.
Yeah, it probably brings back a lot of memories.
Mm-hmm. Well, it was very many people put their pictures.
You know, those people who are there now have been there before you lived here?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, really? So that must be really old then, that cemetery.
When they first started.
Mm-hmm.
You see, this used to be quite a trading post.
Oh, really?
For the Indians and the white people coming in.
Oh, because of the river or something?
Yes.
And the railroad used to come right up to the town, right in front of the Methodist Church.
Well,
yeah. And after a certain time, they'd back up and go on out and go to Toledo. And,
but Toledo, the reason they call the wall to the Munkins is because Toledo was a small.
Oh, really?
Time. Yes, that's right. Wow. Some of the Wadsworths here, there's a family of Wadsworths living in my folks. In fact, their dad walked part of the Wadsworth farm that was right at the back of us. And his wife was a school teacher when Toledo was first organized up to Buffy's. Well, me. is older than Toledo, but Toledo is, and that's why they always call him the Munchkin, because he went just the swamp people, from there clear the swamp man. And she told about how she taught school. She said she was only 16 years old. They were some of her people were some of the first settlers in Toledo.
Hmm.
And it's the east part of Toledo down. I don't know if you guys know anything about Toledo.
Not very much.
It's out towards where they have sort of a naval base there. A few years they brought in these tall ships.
Mm-hmm.
And we took some of our grandchildren.
Yeah. They used to have a livery barn here. You could hire a horse and a buggy.
Well, that was
a lot of men came in on a train and would go to the livery barn and hire a horse and a buggy and to go out to see some people, whether they wanted to.
Mm-hmm. Salesmen could come. You see, there was a railroad going through here from the north, from Monroe to 802. That was here,
That was opposite.
I rode on that train. That train, the first year we were married.
Well, we went to some joint down in Detroit.
Yeah, we were at the Port Shelby Hotel. There was some man that connected with some Detroit thing. Invited all the friends of the owners, couples here on New Year's Eve.
Hmm?
You went there on New Year's Eve. But you know, you had to get back and get to work and then the next day at the bay.
Yeah.
And we stayed with and we took this train to Monroe and then took the train in Detroit.
Oh.
That's the way people would do.
Yeah.
And these salesmen would come and then they just no automobiles then and they went off our money.
But when I came here I didn't know anything about anybody. And the only reason I got in the bank is because I was working my way through high school for Dr. Smith.
Mm-hmm.
And Mr. Rose got acquainted with me because the stairway was off a part of the bank building.
Mm-hmm.
And so Mr. Rose said to me one day, "How would you like to come and work in the bank?" I said, "That's the height of my ambition." And so I John Whitman worked there, but somehow he got let out at Cam.
What kind of classes did you take in high school?
What kind of? I just took the general course.
Just like history and English?
Yeah.
And
the biggest training I got was when I went in the bank.
So you didn't
know nothing about it.
Well, they didn't have a whole lot of subjects. You had math, you had English, you had science, and you had, a lot of these. I don't think we ever had economics.
No.
Like they have now.
Mm-hmm.
You did have government, you had history. Mm-hmm.
But I know there used to be a main window in the bank that came headed right to the door. And then down the aisle away was another window and had a big white desk. And so if they didn't want to wait on anybody there, they'd send them down there. And usually they had sacks of money, that they had to count. And that was my job for a long time.
Just counting the money?
Counting pennies and nickels and dimes.
Well, I guess first thing when they get in there now, they have to take them and put them in rolls. Like that, because they have to take them into these things.
Well, then we had to put them in tubes, see, and seal them up. Now you have machines that will pack them up. But we used to buy them and then just open them and write them down so many pennies in a funnel and down there and wrap them up, and we had to know just how many there was there. And I used to wrap a lot of them.
And that's the machines too.
But
yeah.
His computer is not. Have you ever taken him to that?
Mm-mm. I should.
But I guess it's coming to me.
I've been around the town for a long time, coming here. From out in the country. Out in Whitewood Center. It was about where our farm home was. And they were about my folks. Mother was just bound I was going to go through high school. She come up here and an appointment with the doctor, wanted to see Dr. Smith if he had any place where he could use a boy. And he didn't have. Then I came and I didn't know nobody.
Yeah.
But.
Probably working in the doctor's office, you met a lot of people, though, didn't you, real fast?
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah. They had two doctors here quite a bit of the time.
Yeah, Mac was here too, Dr.
Well, I prefer Baptist, Dr. McDonald. And,
well, that was before my time.
And wasn't there a Dr. Kirby at one time?
Yeah. But he didn't do any practicing when I came here. Okay. It was just Dr. Mac and Dr. Smith. And they were a little antagonistic towards each other.
Oh, they were, but they were.
But after
together.
A while, they got along so that they down the tonsil operating up in Dr. Smith's office. Everybody had tonsils, had to have mouth.
Well, Dr. Beck used to do the surgery, and Dr. Smith would assist him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they had studied.
Well, thank you very much.
Well, I hope the day is something.
Yeah.
But